To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a rocky pathway cutting through an evergreen forest comes to us from an unknown Facebook friend who shared this scene on or around April 25th, 2021. If this trail photo is yours and you would like to be acknowledged, give me a heads up and I'll update the blog after the fact. Well, it's Thursday, and I share today's photo as part of my continuing campaign to clean out my iPhone's photo archive, and because I can use it to encourage all my friends to get on or to stay on the path of Christian discipleship, which very well may lead you to walk free of bondages and addictions. Wednesday nights, I oversee a Christian recovery support group, Celebrate Freedom, at Star Point Church, and when you try to help people walk away from their hurts, habits, and hang-ups, you have to walk the thin line between compassion and coddling and truth and lies, as we seek to encourage others to get out of their denial, see the lies they have been believing, and accept the new life of freedom that the Lord gives to every Christian. The number one lie we have to combat in our ministry, I think, is that Christianity or Christian recovery or sobriety works for some people, but not for me. It's the false belief that we individually are somehow different, too weak, or just incapable, and will never be free. Just this morning, I was reading about this lie in Neil Anderson's Who I Am in Christ, a devotional, and so I will let the good doctor tell us how. And this is all from Neil Anderson. We are all children of God. And Anderson writes, one of Satan's most common lies is that somehow you and I are different from other people. We may think God accepts these people, but not me. I have researched more than 1,725 professing Christian high schoolers. 74% believed Christianity works for others, but it doesn't work for them. Is that true? Of course not. But if they believe that, will it affect the way they live their lives? Yes, it will. In privacy, I've actually had reasonably functioning adults tell me they think they may be aliens. This may sound bizarre, but Satan has done such a number on their thoughts, many have literally believed they are totally different from other people. But it's not true. All Christians are children of God, fellow citizens with God's people. And that was from Neil Anderson. Our lesson last night at Celebrate Freedom taught us that we have to humble ourselves and ask God to change us. We are not changed by our own willpower or cunning. When we submit to God, we receive His strength and guidance that transforms our hearts and minds to give us a new life of freedom and victory over the sins of the flesh that only He can make possible. Modern recovery philosophy goes against this fundamental principle of faith that is still supposedly a part of the 12-step methodology of overcoming addiction. Because the original Christian core of the 12-step model was compromised to include people who didn't have faith in Jesus Christ specifically early on, instead decided to be practical and allow for non-specific, nebulous, or personally fabricated concept of a higher power. And because our Western society has increasingly become post-Christian, it should come as no surprise that the concept of recovery is being compromised to harm reduction. While I understand that the idea of harm reduction is intended to save lives and address real-life substance abuse problems practically, they are based on hopelessness, surrendering to beliefs that state that illicit drug use is part of our world and it's best to manage it rather than condemn or eliminate it. Drug use is a complex, multifaceted phenomenon rather than a simple and deliberate choice of the will, and that some ways of drugs are safer than other ways, thus acceptable, and that cessation of all drug use is not the criteria for success, and that our community should assist those who use drugs to do it safely, and that addicts should have a voice in defining public policy to continue the practices of their addictive lifestyle. And they affirm that socioeconomic class or race factors affect someone's capacity to get free. Racist? Yeah. While I certainly agree with the principle of harm reduction that seeks to meet the addict where they're at and to work toward practical and progressive improvement, the overall philosophy perpetuates the problem. And please understand, I know how bad it is out there, and I know it is only getting worse. I have lost friends to overdose, and I have seen others walk away from addiction alive and well. The ones that are alive and thriving didn't seek to reduce harm by finding an acceptable or safe place for drugs in their lives. They progressively worked to eliminate it from their lives altogether, and they did the impractical thing of putting their trust in God through their faith in Jesus Christ to do so. Also, please hear me, these harm reduction policies are in effect, and they are doing good work, so I'm not looking to eliminate them. Instead, I am advocating for the best life of those who have successfully reduced the harm of their addictions by seeking to encourage them to go keep going further into their recoveries and to put their faith in Jesus to be completely free. I practice harm reduction strategy by encouraging our support program participants to take one problem at a time, and to use medically prescribed treatments to stabilize and to focus on progress rather than perfection and to define their own recoveries. But at the same time, I will point to the real possibility that existed at one time in their lives of being completely free of the need for drugs or alcohol in their lives. We are all children of God in that we are made in His image. And it is only in the most deranged and dysfunctional environments where babies or children given alcohol or drugs as a means of coping. Most of us manage to get to early or late adolescence before our exposure to alcohol and drugs, and I believe that clearly demonstrates that alcohol and drugs do not need to be a part of our lives as adults. We shouldn't play nice with a poison we should have never taken, and instead should have the childlike faith that we can live a simple and pure life like we once did as children, and that nothing, including the color of one's skin, their socioeconomic status, or their class, makes them less capable of being free from drugs and alcohol. So I might encourage you to establish a course of recovery that will be practical and meet you where you're at, but I would encourage you to trust in the Lord and to guide you to a full cessation of drugs and alcohol. Eric Clapton got off of heroin by going into seclusion and drinking wine, but the legendary guitarist nicknamed God by, or Slowhand by some, didn't stay there. Eventually, Clapton knew alcohol would kill him, and instead of living out life just reducing the harm of his addiction, he went into treatment and eliminated it, despite many personal tragedies after he was sober. Eric Clapton is living proof that addictions can be overcome and that people can go on to succeed in life beyond their wildest dreams, even despite losses, obstacles, and immense challenges of life. While I don't know Clapton personally, there is an indication online that his victory followed a Christian commitment in rehab. I would like to believe that is true and that Eric is my brother in Christ, because if he is, our stories are similar. I suffered from alcoholism since I was 17 years old, and I was never going to quit, even after I put my faith in Jesus, because I didn't think I could, that I was different or incapable of it. But in 2015, Pastor Bob Costello began a Christian recovery ministry at my local church, and I answered the Lord's call on my heart to trust Him to help me overcome what I thought was impossible. And after a relapse 2 weeks in, I knew if I wanted to be free, I couldn't play nice with alcohol and just seek to reduce its harm in my life. I had to stop altogether. To be free, I had to actually be free. And by the grace and power of God, I have walked free ever since. So when someone in recovery tells me that they are smoking weed for their anxiety, or they just had a few drinks, is 13 a few? I encourage them to keep walking and talking with God, because although that is where they are right now, the Lord will encourage and empower them to not stay there if they choose to follow Him. Harm reduction's lies are ancient ones. The Lord and the concepts of recovery and freedom would rightly say that drugs and alcohol have no part in the ex-addict's life. Satan and the hopeless extremes of harm reduction's policy would say you aren't capable of freedom, and it's best just to live with your personal demons and to tell your family and the community at large just to help you to do so, rather than cast them out. Don't believe the lies that would have you compromise with the sins of the flesh. We might have to be practical in how we deal with lifelong hurts, habits, and hang-ups, but we should never surrender to them, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yeah, I sort of tripped over that. Anyway, just showing I'm not perfect. But yeah, we need to try for full freedom when we want to take on those hurts, habits, and hang-ups, because they'll always you know, get in the way of the flourishing life that the Lord has for us. Anyway, we move along to the Bible verse of the day, and it comes from us from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis, and this morning's meditation verse comes from the section on death and eternal life, and today's verse is Psalm 116, verse 15, and the Word of God says from the NIV version, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants." Today's verse falls under the fifth point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on death and eternal life, and that fifth point is the death of the Lord's saints is precious. Today's verse is a tough one. Death is precious? Lord, no, it's scary and sad, you might think. But look higher, brothers and sisters. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ have eternal life, and Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us in God's kingdom. So death has indeed lost its sting. The death of God's faithful service is precious in his sight because it means that we will be with him. Don't be afraid of death. Jesus overcame death and the grave to show us he is God and that he can be trusted in to save those who believe in him. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And in Alford's devotional, he prompts us to read a chapter of Scripture from the New Testament every day. And today's chapter is John 15. And from John 15, he shares from verse 8, which says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And Alford writes, "The fruit in chapter 15 of John is the fruit of character, namely love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control," Galatians 5:22-23. The production of these fruits, or better, this fruit, is firstly glorifying to God, and secondly, the expression of true discipleship. These two great things were the extreme objects of Christ's life upon this earth. He lived and died to glorify the Father. He lived and died as the devoted, loyal bondslave of God. These two objects can never be achieved without an unbroken fellowship and union with Christ abiding. This is maintained through constant cleansing by the abiding word and filling of the Spirit. And Alford ends by saying, praying, "Cleanse me and fill me, Lord. Produce in me your sweet fruit of character. Amen." And amen. Amen and amen. Yeah, the fruitfulness, you know, a lot of people think of fruitfulness as good works. He's doing good deeds out there. But, you know, one of the fruits of walking in the Spirit is the character changes. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that comes from walking with the Lord, from following the Lord. And this is how we don't have to, you know, the full surrender, you know, full freedom, I would say, comes from full surrender to the Lord. You want to be free from alcohol and drugs and not have it a part of your life? Walk with the Lord. You know, there's no, you know, let the word of God, you know, convict your heart, because there are various scripture verses in the Bible that condemn drunkenness and indicate that if your life is one of drunkenness, it indicates you're not really, you know, in the kingdom. And that should concern those who are seeking just to reduce harm of their addictions, that you haven't fully surrendered to the Lord. And whether or not that's, a matter of salvation or not, you'll have to figure that out when you die. But, does your harm reduction give you a full sense of peace, love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Some of these fruit are going to be missing if you have drugs in your life, okay? The mere fact that the Word of God indicates you shouldn't have anything to do with substances that cause drunkenness, should take away your peace. And the fact that self-control seems to be lacking in you should also be concerning. And believe me, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. But I will condemn the use of alcohol and drugs as a coping mechanism. Now, don't get it twisted. People always go to the extremes of prescription medications and, marijuana being a medicine. I would say go to the Word of God and go to the Holy Spirit and live the life that the Lord leads you to live. Now, with that said, I believe fully, from someone who's been on prescription meds for depression, someone who's self-medicated with marijuana and alcohol throughout most of his life, that you can walk free from those things. Believing the lie that you can't, that you're different, is highlighted in today's message. Go back and read it. That you're incapable of it because of where you grew up or the person you are, or the family you grew up in, or the hardship you have in life. These are all lies. It's not addiction is not a disease, it's a choice. It's the only disease that comes from an outside agent, that we keep giving to ourselves. And that's not a disease, that's madness. And, the Lord will make you see the madness and see that you're fully capable of living a simple and pure life when you follow him. And, that's the hardest addiction is your pride. To humble yourself and to follow the Lord will be the biggest struggle, as we all want to live independently of God. But the truth is you don't live independently of God. When you die, as we brought up in the Bible verses, your death, when you're not walking with God, would not be precious in the sight of the Lord, because he would condemn you to hell, rightfully, for rejecting him and rejecting his offer for eternal life and living contrary to his ways. It only makes sense, that you would be punished for rejecting the offer. And this isn't me. This is Scripture. Read the Bible and let it convict you. All these things are things I struggled with, I didn't come to faith until I was 38 years old, and it took me 5 years before recovery happened. And it was just because I knew my heart, it wasn't right, and my life wasn't right, and, the Lord revealed himself in a major way, and has ever since, in continuing ways, to show me that I have no doubt the Bible is true. That Jesus was who he said he is, and that there's only hope in him. And so, whether or not you're strung out on drugs or completely sober, I would say first and foremost, put your faith in Jesus. You don't want to die in your sins or your addictions. And so get saved and then try to get free. That's what you should do. And that's what we're doing, just to encourage people. We're not a hater. We love you. And we know how lost we are without God. So we just encourage you to follow him and to be real. Let's not play a game with our sin. And, I'm forgiven. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. But are you free? Do you have peace? Oh, yeah. Sure you do. I know this. I know those lies. I know what it's like to live in sin and to suffer from addiction. So, you're not going to be able to convince me, because I knew I was in denial the whole time. But I didn't think I could do it. But the truth was, I couldn't. And but the Lord could do it through me. So surrender to him and he'll help. Anyway, today's another day of vacation. I am over schedule big time. You know, I don't know if I'll ever be on track. it's amazing I ever get this thing done on a regular basis, because on vacation, it's just like, oh, wow, look at the time. I should already be at work. But, we're taking it easy, I guess. Anyway, let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for setting us free from drugs and alcohol and the sins of the flesh, of sexual immorality. You're amazing that you can set us free from all these things when we trust in you. And Lord, we don't seek to reduce the harm. We seek to increase the peace in our lives by following you. And Lord, so we just pray for anyone who's listening that they would, be helped, that you would bless them and come alongside them in their prayer requests and their walk of faith, to empower them to go to walk in the way that you would have them walk. And Lord, we are asking for your help personally as well. Today, open our eyes to the things you want us to see and lead us in the things we should do, because all we want to do is represent you in your kingdom, Lord, and invite other people in to be a part of it. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.